I was raised in a United Methodist church and have wonderful memories of my childhood and youth. Our rural church in North Dakota was picturesque, situated at the intersection of two gravel roads on a corner cut out from fields of wheat and sunflowers on land donated by members of our family tree. The men of the church built the church themselves, which sits alongside a parsonage and a cemetery out back. It could be a movie set. Well, the General Conference of the United Methodist Church just voted to overturn its prohibition against openly LGBTQ clergy. Some are celebrating, while others may be embarrassed to be associated with a denomination that would do such a thing. It may feel like a decision that affects only people far from your own experience, but I'd like to share my story, our story. The church played an absolutely central role in our family, and I was happy about that. I loved church. I was part of a family that showed up any time the doors were open, although in this rural setting, the doors were actually never locked. Among other things, my mother was a beloved Sunday school teacher and active with missions, connecting us with the state and national church. We even hosted a missionary from Hong Kong at our kitchen table. My father was a trustee, and I can only imagine every other function, too. He was active in the brotherhood. We always sat in the same third row pew on the left side, where there is now a plaque on a new window featuring a stalk of wheat in honor and memory of my parents and aunts and uncles. I have fond memories of Sunday school flannel graph panels illustrating Bible stories, and the annual Christmas Eve pageant, always wishing I could be Joseph. Vacation Bible school and church camp every summer, washing dishes after a potluck and listening to women tell stories. Youth group on Sunday evenings, serving as president twice, and I was a youth delegate to the state annual conference meeting. In seventh grade, I started playing the organ during worship on Sunday mornings and was taught by my pastor's wife. In high school, I started riding along with the pastor. He was Reverend Cushing, never Ralph. I'd ride along with him to other churches on our three-point charge, which means one pastor serving three churches in a 65-mile circuit every Sunday. He picked me up so I could play the piano at one of the country churches with only 14 worshipers. On the way, we had wonderfully deep theological conversations. Sometimes I would go along to play the pump organ at the second church in a small town with 25 worshipers, and ours was the big church. My aunt was the main organist, and I played regularly. I never encountered words of hate in my local church, from either pulpit or people. The love of Jesus was the message. I believed that, and so when I was 7 years old, I went forward one night during the annual week of revival services and gave my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Our revivals were quiet. And there was lots of singing, which in our church was always in four-part harmony. We'd have a sermon by a guest preacher for the week and then an altar call every night. Emotion in these services came in the form of quiet tears, not shouts of praise. When a Baptist from Texas moved to one of the local farms and joined our church, his enthusiastic amen during very dry sermons still caused people to jump even years later, even the pastor. So I wanted to paint a picture of this idyllic setting, a church that was a place of love and belonging and intertwined family trees. We may have been second or third or fourth cousins with over half the church. The church encouraged my musical abilities long before they were very good. And I was a good kid. And when I announced that I was called to become a pastor, no one questioned why. And I knew that one day my picture would be added to the frame of many others from this small church who had been called into ministry as pastors and missionaries, and even included my sister and aunt because they married pastors. However, I've been ordained for over 30 years, and my picture has never made it to that wall. You know, my mother was sad about that until the day she died at age 90. So what happened? Why? I graduated from high school in 1983 and only looked at United Methodist colleges. I intended to go straight from college to seminary and become a pastor in North Dakota. I reasoned that I should return home because people who weren't raised in North Dakota wouldn't want to move there. It's my duty. Big changes came while I was in college. One was the farm crisis. It hit hard. And our family, like thousands of others, were suddenly forced out of business. And those family farms supported small towns and small churches out in the country like ours. All of them started emptying out. But secondly, I accepted what I had tried to deny for years. I started to understand in high school that I was different somehow, but I didn't know exactly how. And I was mortified when I figured out I might be gay. What little I knew about it back then wasn't good. And I did what I could, including a lot of prayer on my knees, to be something other than what I realized years later I couldn't change. In the middle of all this, the United Methodist General Conference adopted a rule in the Book of Discipline that prohibited self-avowed practicing homosexuals from ordained ministry. It felt like a particularly cruel joke that I would be both called to ministry and be gay. I knew that when I met with the Board of Ordained Ministry, as part of the process, I would be asked if I was a self-avowed practicing homosexual. I considered lying, since as my campus minister counseled, it would be an unjust question. But in the end, when we met, they didn't even ask, because they already knew me so well. I had been so active as a youth in the conference. But I decided there wouldn't be a second meeting, that I wouldn't be put in the position of deciding to tell the truth or a lie again. I would pursue ministry as a pastor somewhere else. Not that there were really very many other options. And yet God made a way out of no way. Because it was not long after that I received a phone call inquiring whether I would be interested in serving as a pastor of two churches in small towns during my senior year of college. It's my first introduction to the United Church of Christ. I loved being a pastor. It was a little over a year. At 20 years old, preaching every Sunday, marrying, burying, counseling the grieving, why they listened to me, I will never know. And I certainly do know that God was kept busy helping me. And then I went to seminary as an out gay man. Ordination in the UCC wasn't an easy path. But at least it was a possibility that existed. Whereas in 1972, the United Methodist Church declared Christianity is incompatible with homosexuality, the UCC ordained the first openly gay man in 1972. And I am grateful that the UCC has become my home. I have worked and served on every level of the church from national to local and been a pastor for over 30 years. But I want to say, all that service and devotion would have been in the United Methodist Church. I say this with no bitterness. I just want people to know that the decision of the General Conference just made wasn't about, quote, other people from some place far away. It directly affected one of the Sunday school children who was nurtured and formed in a country church, who enjoyed listening to Bible stories and watching them illustrated with figures cut out of flannel, who went forward to the altar one night when I was 7 years old, and who, at age 16, 42 years ago, God called into ordained ministry. You know, I wonder, is it too late to get my picture on the wall outside the sanctuary? I know it would make my parents very happy.